जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान् अभयचरणारविंदम भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट ओम विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान् भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरिगोवर्धन की बृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namami Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudaleshwari Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namini. Namaste Sarasudevam Gauravani Prajarini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshadharini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव वे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वया इतरदसर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित गैदवोत्रवरमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरे सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्र कृतिभि शुश्रूषुभित्तक्षणान् पदरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखातमृतद्रव संयुधम् पिबद भागवतं रसम् आलयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तं हनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवाहनो विरहकातरमज्जुहवा पुत्रेधि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथितीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारेर्मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खम् കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം. ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. When Arjuna spoke to Krishna that controlling the mind is a difficult thing to do, Krishna says, yes, it is. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, what did he say? Asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam abhyasena da kaunteya vairagyena jagrihyade. This was Krishna's answer. Isn't it? Text 35, if you look, you will see. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. അസംശയം മഹാബാഹോ മനോ ദുർനിഗ്രഹം ചലം അഭ്യാസേനദു കൗന്തേയ വൈരാഗ്യേന ച ഗൃഹ്യതേ. കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? സോ വി വിൽ സീ ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഈവൻ ദോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് കൺട്രോളിംഗ് ദ മൈൻഡ്, ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ബി ഡൺ. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി ആൻസർ ഫ്രം കൃഷ്ണ. കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് അഭ്യാസേനദു കൗന്തേയ വൈരാഗ്യേന ച ഗൃഹ്യതേ. അഭ്യാസം ആൻഡ് വൈരാഗ്യം. വാട്ട് ഇസ് അഭ്യാസം? മീൻസ് പ്രാക്ടീസ്. Vairagya means renunciation. If there is renunciation in a person, naturally he will be more focused on the abhyasam, isn't it? That is how it works. That there is more renunciation in a person, the better will be his practice. For example, you can see all those great people in this world, even for material motive, when they have to have abhyasam, they give up a lot of sense gratification in their life, isn't it? Why? Because they know what they want in life. They have a goal that this is what I want to get it. Either we are in the tennis field or in the football field or whatever it is, they have to practice it, isn't it? So that abhyasam is connected with vairagyam. They also have a vairagyam, but only thing is it's for a different goal. The different goal it is. The vairagyam is there in them, but that vairagyam is used for a wrong purpose, in the sense for a material goal. Whereas Krishna is saying here that in order to realize the self inside, first thing required is that abhyasa and mind should come under control. Particularly for jnanis, for those who are in the process of jnana margam, for them it's very difficult. They have to have the mind totally under control. So Krishna says here, from the yoga point of view, ashtanga yogam also, control of mind is important. So he says here, abhyasena idu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Through abhyasam and through vairagyam it is possible. Krishna says it is possible. So we were discussing about these various examples. We mentioned that in the in different fields, how people practice different kinds of renunciations in order to get that state. So, as I mentioned before, that a person who has completely under control of, say, alcohol, even if you show him the route, he won't be able to get back in the destination. He won't be able to get back to the destination because of the effect of the alcohol. So even if you open a full motorway for him to go walk back, he will find it difficult to get to the destination, isn't it? Similarly, Krishna says here, one who is drunk with this intoxication of bodily ignorance, identification with the body, for him, he does require a lot of practice before he can get out of it. Actually, in Krishna's estimation, we are all drunk people. We think we are very, what did they say? We are very sober and we are sensible and all that. But as far as Krishna is concerned, we are drunk. Drunk with what? With this bodily identification and the false ego inside. So therefore, Krishna is saying here that due to abhyasam, abhyasam is what? The reflection on the soul. That is abhyasam. That this abhyasam reflection is saying that if you do not engage in the reflection of the soul, automatically you will engage in the reflection of the world outside. You have only these two choices, isn't it? Either you can go inward looking for the soul and reflect on the soul, or you have the other option to reflect on the world outside. Material world means what we experience through the five senses, isn't it? That means to see, to touch, to smell, to taste, and to hear. These five things. This is what the world is. World means these five senses and its field. So everything, the whole day, we will be busy with these five senses. So we have only one option, either to go into the world, engage the five senses, or to withdraw the mind from the senses and go inwards looking for the soul. That is the point Krishna is saying. So there, it's only the problem is of this practicing it. So Krishna says here, the mind is a jadam. Jadam means it hasn't got its own idea. On its own it doesn't stand. It has to, mind has to always it has to be under the, it has to be leaning on to something. It has to lean on to something. If it cannot lean on to one thing, it will lean on to something else. On its own it can't stand. That's the mind is never still, in other words. It's always leaning on to something. So either in one of the five senses, it will be going outside. It doesn't have the intelligence. But Krishna is saying here, if you keep on directing this mind inward looking and go inward looking, then in due course of time, it will surrender. The mind will surrender. Mind will surrender. So just like, how did this mind get absorbed in the world? Because we trained it like that, isn't it? We allowed the mind to go out. And as much as we found the world exciting and interesting, and so along with that, the mind also found the track to go outside into the world. So in the same way, Krishna says, in many, many lifetimes, this mind has gone out in this way. It has been going out in this way, outward, to the world outside. And the same mind, so you can see, any time a child is born or a baby is born, has anybody made the child to go inward looking? First thing what we do, as soon as a child is born, in a few, we keep on observing the child. And when the child is able to recognize the colors, we buy different colors of balloons and give it to the child to look at, to keep it quiet. Or if its hearing power is getting better, then we will bring some kind of, what do they call the thing, and start shaking in front of the child. Somehow or the other, we want to get the mind out from inside. The child had no interest, but we bring it out as quickly as we can. Why? That's how it begins, isn't it? And then we tell the child, look at this, look at that lamp, look at this color. And look at me, look at your nose, look at this, look at that. This is the general process, isn't it? All the parents do, then relatives joins you, and all together, whatever little interest he had inside, that also goes. And then it comes out. At the time of birth, the child is more in a realized state than after our associating with us a lot. It loses whatever little self-realization it had. It goes with that. So that is the point. That's what Krishna is saying to us, that mind is such a thing that we have trained like this from the very beginning. So when the child, when the baby is growing, and when it starts seeing different objects in this world, initially if you look at the child, you will see it doesn't look at a particular object, anything specifically. Its eyes are open. Why? The Yanindriyam, the senses of knowledge and the senses of action has not started functioning yet. Isn't it? You can see, look at the fresh born babies. If you look at them, they are not looking at any particular object. Their just eyes are open. Why? The senses of knowledge has not started functioning yet. Slowly, slowly, when it starts functioning, we feel happy. Ah, it's working. So we'll say, we say the drishti. Drishti means the vision of the baby. Ah, it's is at least it's functioning. It's functioning. The way we test that is by showing different things in front of the baby, and baby starts giving attention to different objects. Then we think, ah, it's working now. So that's how it is. Otherwise, a baby in that state, prior to his senses being activated, and the self-realized soul is equal, the same way they look at the world. Realized soul, if you see them, if you look at their eyes, they are not looking at any object for any reason. They don't have any object particularly they look at. Because for them, the only the presence of the soul is important. Matter is not important. What form? Whereas we give this attention of the matter to them and train the mind, and then in a few years' time, fully developed a child, ready to take on the world. So, that is why it says here, so we engage them, and in that way, first the senses of knowledge we engage in this way, isn't it? All the five senses of knowledge, which is the sense of shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. That means the sound, touch, smell, and hearing, and seeing. All these five senses, we engage that. As soon as he grows a little bit bigger, we'll show something to him so that he can take it, and we pull it back to play with his hand so that he learns the art of using the senses of action as well. So senses of knowledge and senses of action, we activate in the child in such a way that eventually, step by step, he becomes a part of this world, this scenario here. So then we start, that's the first chapter. Second chapter, we keep telling them all different bodies, this is what they are, this is your father, this is your mother, this is your uncle. Haven't you seen him before? All kinds of nice things, we train him up in this. This is our training for the child. So when these things are happening, Krishna says that the mind is gone completely. The very same mind inside, which should have gone inward, reflection on the soul, has been engaged in these activities. If you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to look at the realized souls, for example, three personalities I can mention now. Sukadeva Goswami, when he came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, Alakshalingo Nijalava Tushto, that is how it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Alakshalingo, no direction anywhere looking, just going on like this. Alakshalingo Nijalava Tushto, nothing to gain in this world, and always in total happiness. This was a realized soul, Sukadeva Goswami, when he came to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. That is how he arrived on the scene, isn't it? If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will say, see, Avadhuta Vesham, the dress of Avadhuta. Avadhuta means practically he had no dress, and he walked on to this area, to Ganga River banks, to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Alakshalingo Nijalapadushtam. So, Sukadeva Goswami was like that. Jadabharata, another personality in the fifth canto, where you see the same nature, not bothered what goes on in this world, not focused on anything. And therefore he had to suffer in the hands of those people who were carrying the palanquin of King Rahugana, isn't it? But later on Rahugana realized that this personality is somewhat different, not the ones who are seen before. So that's another person. Dattatreya Maharshi, another personality. No particular object to look at in this world. Because presence of Atma, the soul in everything, has come to their realization. So therefore, it is said like that. Then, so what all we train the children, which is interesting to look at it. First we get all their senses of knowledge out. We activate them. Then we get their senses of action out. We activate them. Then you grow up a little bit more, 4 or 5 years old, we tell the child, don't go to that house, you know. Because we don't like them, they have some problem there. If you go there, don't go here. You can go there. Ragadvesham, we train them in this way. Ragadvesham starts like that, isn't it? Then the child doesn't know anything, but child starts thinking that there must be something wrong. Father and mother is telling you, don't go there. So, or don't go here. So, we started telling the children in this way, and child starts developing the same way, love and hate towards everybody. So ragadvesham starts like this. They see from the parents or see from the elders. They see the way they behave. And sometimes you can see this at homes in certain places that father is telling the child when the phone call comes, that tell them that I am not here. That's enough, isn't it? The child got the message. How to deal with the world. The best way to deal with the world. So you teach this duplicity and hypocrisy from the day one to the child. Child also picks up, and after two, three years time, he also learns the game in the same way. I'm not here. So you say it's the same thing, isn't it? So this is how this material world trains people up from the very early days in life. Then by the time he goes to this school and college, perfection. And when he comes out, he tells how to lie without even giving any hint that he is lying. He'll tell you on the face how to lie and how to cheat. He has learned all the games of this world and ready to face the world. So this is our material life training for the people, isn't it? Our so-called first class education, what we offer to them when the child is born. So that's why Krishna says here that how we have trained the mind in all these things in our material life, and we brought it into a very perfectional stage to deal with material life. In the same way, Krishna says, in spiritual life, you need to train the mind, which is fair enough. It's a reasonable argument, isn't it? How we trained with all our falsities and negative thoughts we have developed in the child's mind throughout his presence in this early years of life. By the age of 15 or so, he has been trained well enough that he has understood all the crookedness of this world and the cheating nature and everything. He gets trained very well. And in the same way, Krishna is saying that when you start, mind has to go inward looking, he needs a training as well in a different way. And that is what Krishna is talking about in this chapter, Dhyana Yogam. That means the conditioned nature, what we have created in this lifetime and many other lifetimes before, we have to dismantle the whole thing. So what happens is that when we have not dismantled the mind in that way, and we have in the same mind in us, we're operating like in the material world, even when you come to the spiritual life, it will operate in the same way like it was operating in the material life. Is it not? Because it has not been trained to go inward looking or to train about the reflecting on the soul. All it knows is how to play the games in this world, each other, and how to get the best out of everything situation. So once this situation happens, it's more difficult. And that's more difficult for those who are more educated, because they are the ones who cause the greatest havoc in this world in all situations. Isn't it? So, so Krishna is saying here, training is necessary. Training is necessary. Now, the possibility is that if you hear all these things, you may say you can try it out for an hour or so at home in the evening and come back and say tomorrow, oh, it's not working. If you say that, there is no answer to that. Krishna is saying it requires training. That's why he says here, Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Abhyasam is particularly important, that you have to make the concerted effort to come out of this entanglement of the mind. So that is what the words we were discussing last time. So then Krishna says there that if you look at a previous verse also, there's a lot of interrelationship between these verses in the same chapter, in the sixth chapter. If you look into verse 32, Krishna says there that Atmaubhamyena sarvatra samam pashyati Arjuna sukham va yadiva dukham sayogi paramamata. Isn't it? We have seen that verse before. Atmaubhamyena sarvatra. Krishna is giving an opinion here. Sayogi paramamataha. That he says there that in his opinion, Krishna's opinion, Krishna says, paramamata means in Krishna's opinion, he says here that the best of the yogis is that person. What kind of person? Atmaubhamyena sarvatra. He's the best among the yogis, he says. What does that mean? Atmaubhamyena sarvatra. That means one who sees everything in relationship with the soul. That means seeing that it is the soul that is presence in everything. And seeing everyone equal on the spiritual platform. Not on a material platform. not knowing that it is the soul that is present in everyone and not the external gross body, able to overlook the gross body and knows the presence of the soul in everyone, Krishna is saying that person is Alpa Upamyena Sarvatra. Alpa Upamyena Sarvatra. Upamyena means he is comparing everything only in relationship with the soul. That means soul is present in everyone, no relationship with the gross material body. That is the important thing. Alpa Upamyena Sarvatra, Krishna says. Samam Pashyati Arjuna. And then, because he is seeing the soul in everyone, Samam Pashyati. He is seeing everybody as equal. In the material world, we want to make everybody equal, isn't it? We want, that's what the philosophy, the socialism, communism, they are all saying like that, isn't it? We have to have, everything should be shared equally. Krishna is, God has given us this wealth, it should be shared equally, we say. So that equal sharing is not possible. That is the point Krishna is saying. Equality is only possible on the spiritual platform. Only on the spiritual platform it's possible. It's not possible otherwise. That's why it mentions there, Almovamyena Sarvatra Samam Pashyati Arjuna. Only through soul you can be equal. On the bodily, spiritual level, we are all equal. It is all Krishna who is present in everyone. On the bodily level, we are all different. On Swarupam, we are equal. On our identity, we are all equal. On Swabhavam, our nature, we are all different. This point, we have to always keep it in our mind. Swarupam, we are all equal. There is no difference between an ant, an elephant, or a human being, a brahmana, or a dog, or a dog eater. Bhagavad Gita says that, isn't it? Vidyavinaya sammanam brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva shobhageja pandita samadarshina. That samadarshitvam, equal vision Krishna is talking about is this, Atma Ubhamyena Sarvatra. Atma Ubhamyena Sarvatra Samam Pashyati Arjuna. Samam Pashyati. Samam Pashyati means he is seeing samam. There is no difference between one to the other. That is samam. Samam means there is no difference because they are same. The same substance. Same substance. The soul. The spiritual entity. So generally people will give a meaning to that. That so when they compare this with their own experiences in this world, whether it is happiness or distress, and they think that the happiness and distress is similar to my happiness and distress. Some people analyze it like that, isn't it? So, for example, somebody else is in distress or in happiness. You see that you also have gone through happiness and distress, and you start thinking that happiness and distress is same for everybody. Isn't it? Sometimes people do like that. We take shelter like that sometimes. Oh, so many people are suffering. I'm suffering because others are also suffering. It's same for everybody. Everyone is suffering. So therefore you feel relief from that. Similarly, in happiness also, you have got something that somebody else has got. You are deriving happiness from that. Somebody else is also getting a similar happiness. You feel you also got it. So there's a kind of happiness derived from that also. So there are people who comment on these words in that way. That they are thinking that because they have got the happiness and distress of others, they are able to take it on the understanding that we are also experiencing happiness and distress in a similar way. And they are saying that it is what that they are referring to. So, but that is not acceptable for the jnanis. Jnanis won't accept that conclusion. That is not acceptable for the jnanis. That is a very general meaning. Very general meaning. A very general statement for that. So what they are saying is, Atma Upamyena Sarvatra Samam Pashyati. You have to remember these words, what Krishna is using there. Krishna is using there that Samam is a word he has used. If you remember, the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Arjuna Vishada Yogam. Isn't it? Arjuna Vishada Yogam. Vishadam means what? Arjuna's Vishada Yogam. Vishadam means what? Vishamam. Remember, mind has got few different states. Layam, Vigalpam, Kashayam. And we mentioned also Samasthiti and Vishamasthiti. Vishamasthiti is this state that it is a disturbed state. Vishadam is disturbed state. So, when there is a lot of Vigalpam comes through inside. Arjuna was going through that state in the Bhagavad Gita when at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's state was like that, Vishamasthiti. That's why the first chapter is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Vishada Yoga means Vishadam. Vishadam state is like that, isn't it? Vishadam state is like that. So, Arjuna in that state, he was in the Vishamasthiti. Krishna is now talking about Samasthiti. Vishamasthiti, Samasthiti, two different states. So, out of that, these are all the different natures of the mind. Vishamasthiti means that the mind is moving. Mind is not stable. It is always in movement. These are all the nature of the mind. When the mind is not moving, it is called Samasthiti. It is called Samasthiti. It is in a balanced state. It's in a balanced state. It doesn't have any movement. So Krishna says here that Saha paraha mataha. He says, Sayogi paramo mataha. So, when one does not lose that touch of the soul, that means his identification with the soul, when one does not lose it, he is in Samasthiti. That is the point Krishna is making. When one does not lose the realization of the soul as he is the soul, when he is in that state, then he is in Samasthiti. All other state, it is in Vishamasthiti. Samasthiti means in the balanced state. It's a state where there's no thought waves coming. There is no unhappiness either. It is not in the layam state or in the kashayam state or neither the vikshiptam state. All these three states comes under Vishadam state. Whereas Samasthiti is that state where mind does not move anymore. Mind is not activated at all. So whatever happiness and distress comes in life, one who does not lose his Samasthiti, that state of mind, where the mind is not disturbed, Krishna says, this is the symptom of a yogi. This is the symptom of a yogi. That means he does not lose his equilibrium of the mind and he is in his Swarupasthiti. Swarupasthiti means in his own spiritual identity he is situated. If it is like that, Krishna says, Atmavamena sarvatra samam pashyati Arjuna. That is his Samasthiti. That means the person, one who is in reflection on the soul, on reflection of the soul, identifies with the soul and always situated in spiritual position inside, he is, Krishna says, samam. His vision is equal towards all other living entities. That is the training for the mind. The mind accepts and mind goes back and dissolves itself in the soul. So Krishna says so far, after saying this, Krishna has finished the topic there. In that verse, Krishna has finished there. So what did Krishna say? Basically, in principle, what Krishna has said so far is controlling the mind. Isn't it? Controlling the mind. Manonigraham. So, what is the way to control that mind? If you have seen the soul, then the mind does not exist. If you have seen the soul, then the mind does not exist. That is the way to control the mind. That's the way to control the mind. So in other words, when due to reflection, when we get absorbed in the soul completely, this thing called mind completely disappears. Completely disappears. Atma, the soul takes over at that time. That's the point Krishna is saying here. Not otherwise, suppose forcefully if you try to control the mind. Forcefully if you try to control the mind. And even if you try to stop the mind from thinking, if you succeed in doing that, in stopping from thinking, or if you stop the mind from allowing other thoughts to come in and stop it, that is not control accepted by the jnanis. Jnanis are saying that only when the whole mind is absorbed in the soul, then the mind stops its function and then the soul is in control. The soul is in control. So, example, just like if you go towards the light, suppose there is darkness and you see a light somewhere far away, if you walk towards the light, the darkness disappears. Darkness immediately disappears. One day someone reported to the king in a small kingdom that there is a huge cave in the darkness in the forest, and that should be that should be removed from there, the darkness. So the king sent a lot of soldiers, and they started fighting with the cave to get the darkness out. But it doesn't happen, isn't it? Eventually somebody suggested to them, you bring a powerful lamp inside and the darkness will go. So similarly, when the mind goes towards the soul, when the mind gets absorbed in the soul, this ignorance what we have created around us in the avidya, mula avidya it's called in the shastram, that mula avidya will go. Mula avidya is what? I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, I am the ego, and I am my identification with all other objects in this world, family, society, country, this, that, and the other, everything. All other identities will immediately disappear when the spirit soul inside is touched. Is touched by the, touched by what? Touched by the mind. Touched by the mind. So in the same way, this darkness inside all of us is due to not knowing the soul. Not knowing the soul. That is the point Krishna is making here. The darkness in, we say also, the prayers are also there. Ajnanat mirandasya jnananjana shalagaya chakshurun milidam yena tasmai shri gurave nama. What does that mean? That verse is also saying the same thing. Ajnanat mirandasya, ajnanam is inside. Timirandasya, in the form of darkness inside. And you have come and shown me the torchlight of knowledge. And I have become completely now fully conscious of what I am. That's what the verse means, although it's not practically happening all the time. But the verse is saying like that. So, ajnanatimirandasya jnananjana shalagaya. That shalaga operation has been done with the powerful knowledge. Knowledge is the one that has removed the darkness. Only knowledge can remove the ignorance, isn't it? There's no other way. Only the knowledge has to come in and get rid of the ignorance from inside. So we all have to agree on this one thing, that we are all ignorant, isn't it? Ignorance is there in all of us, and then ignorance must go. So, so this thing called till we know this process, that how the mind is to go inward looking. If we increase our activities of the mind outside, we are strengthening the mind. We are strengthening the mind. Just like mind is made of a huge long chain, which has got a lot of links, one link to the another. If you keep on increasing material activities, this link will get stronger, and the number of links will also increase inside the mind. So that's why it is mentioned here that the mind is, when we analyze the mind, immediately Krishna says, Atmavam yena sarvatra samam pashyati arjuna sukham va yadiva dukham. Whether it is happiness or distress, doesn't matter. Sukham va yadiva dukham sa yogi paramomata. So whether it is happiness coming in this world or distress is coming in this world, Krishna says that one has to see the soul, not the happiness or the distress. Not the happiness or the distress. Happiness and distress is experienced by the mind, not by the soul. Once we accept that, even when distress comes, if this knowledge is inside, we should be able to tolerate to a great extent that misery is what is experienced from the world. Otherwise, any activity in this world, without knowing our identity as the soul, whatever we do in this world is actually increasing the strength of the mind. Increasing the strength of the mind. Any activity what you do in this world without knowing the self will only strengthen the mind. So, the only way it can be done is, the question will come, that is what Arjuna was going to ask this question, isn't it? Is it possible to do that? Is it possible to do that? The answer to that is, our doubt will be like this. For such a long time, we have been in this material life, material world, and we lived in this pattern. Which pattern? Of engaging the mind in the activities of the world outside. And the mind has become very, very strong. Very, very strong. So, is it possible to change this mind from its status, what it is today? This will be the question that will come up in front of everybody, isn't it? So from the point of view of the Bhagavad Gita, it is like this, that because they give this example specifically for this reason, that when there is very strong darkness in a place, just by bringing the light, suddenly the darkness has disappeared, isn't it? Suddenly the darkness has disappeared. Similarly, if this powerful knowledge goes in, the ignorance must go from inside. If this powerful knowledge of Bhagavad Gita gets in, the darkness must go. But then why it's not happening? That we will come to that later. Why it's not happening? In simple terms, you can only say this much, that we have not followed the process seriously. We have not followed the process seriously. Process requires the person who is trying to acquire self-realization, he has to follow certain discipline in life, number one. The person who is going to, if you get a very matured person, fully matured to receive that instruction, in 1 second it will happen. Realization will happen. We have the example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, best example is Parikshit. Parikshit. Fully matured, prepared, ready to accept. That state of consciousness was inside in Parikshit, isn't it? If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see that. At the very end of Bhagavatam, Brahma Bodho Mahayogi is addressed like that, Parikshit. That renunciation inside, that realization that I don't want anything else except self-realization, Krishna. That's all I want. That determination and that commitment, what you see in Parikshit, therefore it happened. Straight away it happened, isn't it? Straight away it happened. Same thing you will notice in so many places in the Bhagavatam. Parikshit is the best example for that. Jadabharata and Rahugana, we mentioned that before. How Rahugana spoke to Jadabharata? Rahugana was a matured person. Only drawback in Rahugana was, he was a little bit in the bodily concept of life. Jadabharata, he was a fully realized soul. Fully realized soul. So, right spiritual master and mature disciple. This is what brings it together. This is what brings it together. A mature disciple, ready to take the message, completely qualified in all aspects. What all they? Shamam, Damam, Tidiksha, Ubaradi, Shraddha, Samadhanam. Plus, all the other things. Atman, Atma, Vivekam. That means ability to discriminate between the temporary and the permanent. All what we discussed in Ishopanishad classes also. Same thing. Atman, Atma, Vivekam. Then, Amutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam, freedom from all desires to enjoy in this world, in the heavenly planets, all desires have gone. Shamam Damam Tiriksha Uparadi Shraddha Samadhanam, the 6 qualifications for a person who is trying to advance in the spiritual life. Above all these things, that intense desire to escape from here. That is above. If that is there, even the other things are not there, he will make it. If that's there. If that's not there, if everything else is done well, it will not work. This is also the difficulty there. That mumukshatvam, as they call it, mumukshatvam is the most important thing. That if that desire is there inside, and that is not something which you can show it to outside, it has to burn inside. Burning desire to get out from this world. To get out from this world, not to come back here again. If it is there like that, Krishna is saying here that will do the rest of the job. Everything will fall in place in course of time. He may not be perfect in his sadhana. He may not be chanting the holy name even. Even to such an extent it can happen. That is Krishna's special mercy. That is, if a person is burning inside with a desire to get out of this world, escape from the... But that conclusion will only happen when when he goes through this process of the 4 major requirements I mentioned before. The discrimination between temporary and the permanent, and renunciation of this world and the world hereafter, next world, where you want to enjoy. The desire has completely gone away from inside. Then all the qualifications, control of the mind, control of the senses, able to tolerate everything in this world, and able to focus his mind on the soul, and complete faith in the Shastram and the spiritual master, the scriptures and the spiritual master, and then able to hold on to the truth when it is spoken by the spiritual master. So spiritual master, what he does is, he is not bringing anything from outside. He is just removing the ignorance from inside. That's all. And the soul manifests in its pure form. That's all what he does. This is the relationship with the spiritual master and the disciple. So when all these things have happened, Krishna is saying here, the result must happen. So there is no question of saying that why it's not happening. The main problem, or we all have, is this desire is not there. Mumukshatvam, mumukshu. That's why he's called separately identified as mumukshu. Mumukshu means one who looks for moksham. One who looks for moksham. So that is what he says here. Then it mentions like this, that if he is inside, when Krishna is inside each one of us, we all agree at least on that, isn't it? Krishna is inside. Why there is darkness? This question also we have to ask, isn't it? Why there is darkness in us? Darkness means ignorance. When Krishna is inside, so there is some problem there, something to be got rid of from inside, what's not allowing Krishna to manifest completely inside. Krishna's part and parcel is inside. We say, okay, we will say to the deity, deity is there, Krishna is there. But much more presence, Krishna's presence is inside us. More than anywhere else, isn't it? You don't have to go looking for anything anywhere else. Krishna's presence is very much confirmed within each of us. Oh, that is why it says here that if you give your attention to that, at the moment we have not given any time, any attention of Krishna's presence inside. All the time, our attention is elsewhere. We are thinking, oh, we will do all these things and we will go back home, back to Godhead, or we'll get liberated. All ideas we have somehow accepted like that and we live like this. But this so close relationship with Krishna, we are completely ignored that. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, everywhere else this is repeated again and again. This is repeated again and again. So that is why it says here, that the in the morning when the sun comes, immediately darkness goes, isn't it? Immediately darkness goes. So the sun is already inside. Only thing, the sun is not manifesting for us inside. That's why it said, "Eko vaarijabandha vakshiti napo vyaptam tamo mandalam." In the whole world is in darkness in the night. And in the morning, one sun comes and illuminates the whole place. Isn't it? Whole place looks beautiful when the sun comes and illuminates the place. So that's why it says here, Eko vairija bandhava. He is one sun, not many, only one. That one sun comes and this whole earthly planet and many other planets in the whole creation gets illuminated by that one sun. One sun. Kshiti napo vyaptam tamo mandalam. When there is no sun, this world is darkness, isn't it? It is darkness. Without sun, we can't have any life in this world, isn't it? When there is no sunlight, there is no life there. So only due to the presence of sunlight, the living entity is able to survive in this world. So just like the presence of one sun illumines the whole universe, in this whole universe there is only one sun, isn't it? And that one sun illuminates the whole universe. Whole universe. Similarly, Vyaptam tamo mandalam bitva alochana gojaro bibhavadi tvam kodi surya prabhaha. And that sun who is receiving its illumination from whom, and that person is sitting inside us. Imagine that. The sun, the moon, the stars, where do they get their power from? Of light is come from Krishna. And that Krishna is sitting inside. And still there is darkness inside. So that how depth the darkness inside is. This is the depth, the thickness of that darkness inside. Bitva alochana gojaro bibhavadi tvam kodi surya prabhaha. Kodi surya prabhaha. Millions of suns has been illuminated by this one source. That the soul. The soul is illuminating the sun. The soul who is present in the sun is addressed as Surya Narayana. Isn't it? Soul is present in the moon who receives the light, the shining of the moon, the taste of the water, the illumination of the sun is all Krishna. And that Krishna is present inside each one of us, every living entity. So it says here, Bitva lojana gojaro bhibhavadi tvam kodi surya prabhaha. That such a personality who is present inside, who has got the dazzling effulgence of the millions of suns, he is present inside. Vedyakim bhavasya ho ghanadaram kidrang bhavematamas talsurvam talsattvam talsattvam vibhaniyame pashupade sakshal prasanno bhava. That you are present inside there. So our prayers to Krishna is like this, that such a person like you, who is illuminating millions of suns all over in the creation, you are present inside me. And still you are not able to release me from this darkness what I am in. The darkness what we have fallen into. That is the prayers to Krishna. This is what we should pray to Krishna. Not that give me all the things what I want so that I can keep my body going in this life. No. When we ask Krishna, this is acceptable. That you can say, many devotees have prayed like this to Krishna. That you are present inside me and you are so powerful that you are able to illuminate this whole world from darkness. You remove the darkness with this sun. And millions of suns are receiving their strength from you. And you are present inside me. Could you not help me to remove this darkness from inside? You will see there, this ignorance will only go with knowledge. There is no other way. Ignorance means knowledge is the opposite, isn't it? Darkness means light is the opposite. There is no other substitute for that. It is not going to happen easily, isn't it? In the prayers to the spiritual master, in the Guru Puja prayers, he prays, say the same thing, isn't it? What does it say? It says, in the Sri Guru Charana Palpa, then avidya vinashayate. Avidya is what? This darkness what we are talking about, isn't it? Divya jnana hrude prakashito. It's a word there, isn't it, in that prayers. Divya jnana hrude prakashito. Please illuminate inside with the spiritual knowledge. With the spiritual knowledge. Divya jnana means spiritual knowledge. Knowledge of the soul. That's what it is. Divya jnanam hrudaye prakashito. In the heart, let that knowledge of the soul become manifested. And that can only manifest if Krishna wants that to manifest. So, it is not difficult for Krishna to do it, if he wants to do it. Only question of Krishna wanting that to do it inside. Practically, we can see that this darkness is so deep-rooted inside, and darkness won't go. We keep asking, how do I get rid of this? The only way you can get rid of is when Krishna wants that to happen. So that's why it's Vedya kim na bhavasya ho ghanataram kidrang bhave mattamas. That tamogunam inside in me is so deep inside. Talswaryam vyavaniyame pashupade sakshal prasanno bhavaham. That when Krishna is pleased with that, he can remove that darkness from inside. So, you can see there, when the sun comes in the morning, first thing, who opens up the lotus flower, isn't it? Of course, here you won't notice it so much. But in the hot weather, in the tropical weather, you will see this. If you go at about 5 o'clock or 5:30 in the morning, just before the sun comes out, you look into some lake or to some tank where there is lotus flower, it will all be closed, fully closed. Say about 6:30 you go, by the time sun has risen, all of them opens up. All the lotus flower opens up. Similarly, just like due to the presence of the sun, all the lotus flower opens up. And just due to the presence of the sun, all the sun gets illuminated. All the darkness goes away from this world. And the devotee is saying to Krishna that you have the power of to illuminate millions of suns, not one sun, millions of suns. Still, why there is darkness in my heart? Why there is darkness in my heart? It's a very reasonable question to ask Krishna. He won't be upset if you ask this question. If you ask all other things, lottery ticket you bought and I didn't get it, or if you say other thing, he'll be upset. He won't be very happy about that. If you ask. But this one question, anybody can ask Krishna, why is it that you are so powerful? You have everything. If you want to remove my darkness, it only takes a second for you. You have so powerful you are. Koti Surya Prabha. That means millions of suns potency is there in you. And you can't remove the darkness with that. What about the darkness in me? Why it's not going? That question we have to ask. So now here, when will that Krishna? We have to ask Krishna, when will that go? Darkness from inside will go. The answer is, when the light comes, the darkness will go. Or in other words, when the knowledge comes, the darkness will go. As I mentioned before also, this knowledge is called confidential, isn't it? Krishna calls it as confidential. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. Then if it is such a confidential thing, it's spoken all over. And we are telling everybody, here is the Raja Yogam book, here is the Raja Vidya book, take it, it's a confidential thing. Why is it called confidential? It's called confidential for one reason and one reason only, that this knowledge you can hear, but you won't experience it. Till you experience it, it's not no use at all, this knowledge. This knowledge is of no use to us. It will remain purely as a theoretical. So therefore, it's an open secret. That's how you can say. Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge what Krishna is talking about is an open secret. It's open to all, but it's a secret. Therefore, it's called Guhyam. Isn't it? Guhyadamam. Isn't it? Krishna calls it as Guhyam. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, he says. What is Guhyam means? Guhayam iti Guhyaha. One who is living inside the cave there, Guha is a cave, his the knowledge about him, therefore it is Guhyam. He is inside the cave living there, but we don't know yet he is living there. This is our ignorance. So, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram idam uttamam, pratyakshavagamam dharmam susugam kartum avyayam. In that verse in the Raja Yogam, Raja Vidya chapter. So, basically, what Krishna is saying is, that unless the Krishna wants it to happen, this ignorance will not go from inside. So after saying that, Krishna says that, and once that, and knowing what does Krishna's manifestation means, how do we know that? You know that by knowing that the soul. As soon as you realize the self, it means that Krishna is manifested in you. The knowledge is manifested. Up to that point, till you realize the self, the knowledge has not manifested. So till you realize, self-realization happens, you can say like this, that darkness, what we were mentions about in that spiritual master's prayers, on the Guru Puja prayers, that happens at the time when self-realization happens. And that's what you are praying for. You are praying for self-realization, but it is spoken in that way, that Aha Prabhu Koro Doya Deho Mare Pado Chaya. You are praying to the spiritual master to enlighten us. Yeah, but that will only happen if we accept what spiritual master has told us to do. Only then he can do it. If we are not matured, he has got a problem. He has got a problem as well. It's not easy for him. So that is why when these two things happen same time, we discussed this in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna spoke in a little different way, isn't it? Acharyo anyasyal andevas uttararani tal sandhanam pravachanam vidya sandhi sukhavaha. Beautiful words in the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam. Acharyo andasyal andevas uttararani. Just like before they start the sacrifices, they have a process of rubbing wood to create fire. They are not allowed to create fire in the way we do. British Gas cannot supply the fire for that. That's not acceptable. That fire is... Why? The reason for that is, the fire in the Vedic understanding, fire is controlled by seven different people. Seven different fires exist. Sapta Jihwa, it's called. Seven tongues it has got. Only some of them are acceptable for sacrifices. When you ignite the gas, you can see the flame itself is tamogunam, the bluish color that comes from the gas. It does not represent the the proper fire for the sacrifices. That is why this Arani has come. Arani means two pieces of wood. You remember we discussed all these things. And two Arani, two pieces of wood, they rub each other. And they have to take a little while how to rub and create their fire, generate their fire. It's on the YouTube if you want to look at. It's there. Everything is there in the YouTube. So all the knowledge what you need for spiritual life. So if you look in there, you will see Somayagam title, if you look, you will see how they are generating that fire. Two people sitting there and continuously rubbing, and from that wood they have to generate that fire, rubbing each other. No matchbox, no cigarette lighter, and no gas, nothing. Nothing is allowed. So when they do that, same comparison between spiritual master and the disciple. Acharyarani arasyal andevas yutararani. Acharya is one arani, one piece of wood. Disciple is another piece of wood. When they rub each other very well, what does that mean? Acharya is ready, realized soul, ready to release the disciple from his bondage. Disciple fully ready to receive the knowledge from the realized soul. He had all the maturity and qualification, complete pakkvam. Pakkvam means fully ready to receive the knowledge and to realize the truth. When they meet each other, tal sandhanam pravachanam, he says, there is a junction at that time, a connection there, vidya sandhi sukhavaha, the knowledge will burn inside, like it will burn, they say, like the catches the fire, his ignorance goes from inside, and it catches fire inside. The knowledge of the self starts manifesting forcefully, powerfully inside. That disciple has to see the spiritual master as his spiritual master all the time. But if the spiritual master sees the disciple, or he is my disciple, then he is not ready for it. The spiritual master is also not ready. Why? Spiritual master should see the soul in him, not as his disciple or a servant or somebody to exploit. That should not happen. If that happens, then he's gone, completely gone. So, Acharyarani Adhyasal Andevas Yuttararani Talsan. This is the qualifications of the spiritual master and the disciple. Only in that level, all this realization of Bhagavad Gita can happen. Otherwise, it's not possible. Otherwise, it will become a ritualistic activity, isn't it? Talsandhanam Pravachanam Vidya Sandhi Sukhavaha. So, that is what Krishna is saying here also, that the when that happens, so, so that yogi or a jnani who have realized the self what he is due to his meditation, one who has realized that little by little he has managed to learn how to fix the mind on the soul and one who has realized that, Krishna says that he is the best. Because at that time is that Arjuna is asking this question, isn't it? Arjuna's question was at that time. What was the question? Chanjalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dridam. Isn't it? Chanjalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dridam. Chanjalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dridam. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayor iva sudushkaram. Arjuna is asking this question. Krishna says to Krishna that it is very, very difficult. So Arjuna is speaking on behalf of us now, because this is our doubt also, isn't it? We also have the same doubt. Is it possible to control this mind? And that's why Arjuna put forward that question to Krishna. Chanjalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dridam. Pramadi balaval dridam. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. And to control this mind is as difficult as controlling the wind. So, so if you read this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, and then many people will say like this, after they, when they leave the room, they will say, you see, Arjuna also could not control his mind. What chance have I got? This will be the first hand. And that's enough. That's enough. Finished. Everything gone. All 2-3 hours you heard Bhagavad Gita is completely gone. Nothing will happen after that. Why? Because this nature of people's mind is like that. They're thinking that it's not possible. It's not possible, and somebody has come to this conclusion. Why? It is there that you have to be extremely careful, because you have to remember, at that time, it's a mind is doing the job. Mind has got this job to do, that he has to confuse you, one, and then he has to tell you nothing is possible. You see, only when it comes to spiritual matters, people lose their strength straight away. If you tell the man, go and make a lot of money outside, he'll go run straight away. He'll have no problem in doing that. And similarly, if you go and tell him that to do some fighting with the police or go and create some trouble in the street, no problem. It's got full confidence in you, I can do that. So when it comes to this issue, all energy gone straight away. There's no energy after that. There's no strength in him anymore. There's no strength in him anymore. That is the problem. That's the problem. We have got so-called self-confidence for all nonsense. But for the thing where we require a self-confidence, we don't have it. And then what happens? After a while, we decide it's not possible. So let me carry on with what I'm doing. And eventually you lose spiritual life, leave everything and go away from that. Go to something else. Other ideas come, like making money or doing something else. All different priorities takes over at that time. That's what Krishna is saying here. That it is possible. Generally, human nature is that we don't have such a self-confidence in doing anything. So, to earn money, we have confidence. To study all the other things in the university, some students have got a lot of confidence, isn't it? They can do it. So, but when if you tell the same student who is very intelligent and studying very well at the university or college, if you tell him about spiritual life and self-realization, no, finds it difficult. No confidence in that. So, so in order to create a revolution or to fight with the police or to do any other things in this world, we have confidence. We can do it. But when it comes to this, that only as far as, let me explain that. Only when it comes to controlling the mind, there is difficulty, fear. There is fear inside. Because you can see here that when it comes to the question of controlling the mind, there is fear inside, in everyone's inside. So that is why many people find it difficult to sit alone. We notice that. They find it very difficult to be alone. So many, many great personalities, great leaders in this world, who have actually frightened this world with their strength of mind and activities. So, if you leave them alone for 6 months, they'll go crazy. They'll go crazy. Why? Then, suppose you tell, for example, many people now, if you just take the television away from them, they'll find it difficult. Because television is a substitute for company, isn't it? When you don't have company with other people, then you lose, some kind of uneasiness develops inside. So you use the television for that, internet, everything is in that way. So, but what is he frightened about? Why is the person, he's frightened about his own mind. That's the reality. Reality is that he's frightened about his own mind. That he can get along with anyone, but he cannot live with his own mind. This is the truth. He cannot live with his own mind. So therefore, mind will always frighten him. Mind knows this and he also knows that. He also knows that. Where our weakness is. So most of the people in this world, they are frightened about their own mind. They are frightened about their own mind. So that is the reason why they find it very difficult to sit alone. So, why? Because when you are on your own, you have to deal with the mind direct, isn't it? Whereas if you have a television or internet or any other activity going on, the mind will find a route to go to the world outside and to engage itself. As soon as you say to the mind, you sit quiet now, let me sit quietly for some place, for some time, the mind won't allow that to happen. That is the problem with the mind. So immediately what will happen is the mind will pop up from inside. So that is what Krishna is saying here is the greatest obstacle in the process of self-realization. This thing called mind. we are channelizing it through different ways, through television, through internet, and through different activities, isn't it? We channelize the mind so that doesn't give us trouble. Otherwise, without all these activities, if somebody asks us to sit quietly, we find it very difficult. Very, very difficult. Why? We are frightened about ourselves. We're not frightened about another person, frightened about our own mind. This is the truth. That is why Krishna is saying here these things. So, therefore, so the solution we have found for this problem with the mind is to let the mind go out so that it doesn't cause any problem. When we say, oh, we need to engage him, what does it mean? We don't need any engagement. But we have decided that if you engage somebody, you won't cause any problem. Engage what? Not more than the body, it's the mind. You need some engagement, isn't it? People find that very difficult. So therefore, from spiritual life once you come to, if you want to realize the truth inside, and if you have decided that this is what you want in life, then first thing is to direct the mind and train the mind up. And that's all the training Krishna is talking about. First, to allow the mind not to demand so much. And in order to do that, the important thing to do is not to allow the mind to go through the senses. It is the senses that is pulling the mind through the sense objects. Isn't it? As I discussed before, Kapila Vasudeva said exactly the same thing to Devahuti Devi. Isn't it? Chedasya khalyam bandhaya muktasalma neomadam guneshu saktam bandhaya redimva pumsi muktaye. In Tritiya Skandam, third canto, you can see. Chedakhalyasya bandhaya muktaye chalpaneo madam. Guneshu saktam bandhaya radimva pumsi muktaye. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti that Chedakhalyasya bandhaya, if you allow this mind to go out and mix with the senses and sense objects freely, what will happen is bandham will happen. Bondage will happen. Muktaye cha alpano madam. If you allow the same mind to go towards the soul and make the contact there, it will lead into liberation. It will lead into liberation. So the mind, if you allow the mind to go, chetakhalvasya bandhaya, if you allow the mind to go out and make contact with the world outside, it will develop into bondage. If you allow the same mind to go inward looking and make contact with the soul, muktaye cha alpano madam, that will lead into liberation. Kapila Vasudeva says to Mother Devahuti Devi, then guneshu saktam bandhaya radhim va pumsi muktaye. The world outside is three modes of material nature, isn't it? Three modes of material nature. Guneshu saktam bandhaya, if he makes contact with the gunam or the three modes of nature, bandham will happen. Bandham must happen. Bandham means bondage. Bondage will happen. Radhim va pumsi muktaye. On the other hand, if the mind is attracted towards the soul and find happiness in the soul, in association with the soul, then what will happen? Radhim va pumsi. That's called radhi. Radhi is that word. Radhim va pumsi muktaye. Radhi will lead into liberation. So Kapila Vasudeva, if you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, what is known as Kapilam? Kapilam it's called. Kapilam means Kapila Maharshi's instructions to Devahuti Devi. So when he starts instruction, this is the first verse he spoke to Devahuti Devi. Devahuti's Devi, that story you know, that Devahuti and Kardama Prajapati, that for many, many years they enjoyed senses heavily. Not in the level we do. They went to the heavenly planets with the Nandanam, Chaitraratham, places they have visited. Those resorts are not here. We can go to these places like Spanish islands, one of them, Tenerife or Costa Blanca or whatever that is, Gibraltar, few places you may go. That's our heaven, finish there. But in the Kardama Prajavati Devahuti Devi's cases, if you read, the facilities they had, there is no other description like this anywhere else in the Vedic literature. Like the way that the Kardama Prajavati created out of yogic power, the kind of happiness that they were experiencing in the Kardama Prajapati's creation, and this huge aeroplane what he created, and in that they started traveling and went to all the heavenly planets and so many other places mentions there. So that even after all that, Devahuti Devi, why is it spoken like this? In order to tell us, even after going there, there's only that much you can enjoy. This is the reason why it's spoken. Not that to make us attractive, let me go where Kartham Prajavajan Devahuti Devi went. There is no booking there for that place now. It's all closed. So, Devahuti Devi, Kardama Prajapati, is the history is spoken in the Bhagavatam only for one reason, to understand that the same miseries of this world exist there also. There is envy here, but the envy in those places is million times more than this. Just like the currency. Currency here is small currency. If you take there, it is nothing there, isn't it? The currency from heavenly planets is much more valuable. So, similarly, all the bad things here is also there in the same grade. It's not anyway, not that the place is completely peaceful. Otherwise, why Indra is getting up every time ready to fight? Indra has got his own army, and every time he gets kicked, he goes to Brahma, he goes to Shiva, he goes to Vishnu for shelter. Isn't it? So he is also suffering, not that he is free from fear. Fear exists there also. So there is no place all over. There is fear existing in this world and the next world also. So heavenly planets are like that. This world is also like that. There is not practically much of a difference. So in order to create that vairagyam inside, Bhagavatam is telling us all these things. What's happening in these places. So, and it says like that, that, that as long as you let the mind go out, that is what is causing the biggest problem. So therefore it is spoken, that to allow, not to allow the mind to wander around in this world too much. Only for minimum performance of vyavaharam, transactions in this world. Otherwise, any attention you give to the mind to go outside and enjoy will hamper your spiritual progress. That's what Krishna is saying here. It will come on your way as the biggest obstacle, because they will bring all the garbage from the world and create a lot of interference in your mind. And the mind will get strengthened. And it is impossible to control the mind after that. That's why in spiritual life we always, why did the sages go to the forest? Only for this reason. They didn't want the disturbances from this world to come in, to get in and cause problems. So they went to Himalayas and went to the deep forest to realize the self. They found it easier that the mind in a peaceful state and Satugunam will develop, and that Satugunam will help the control. Shandarajasam says that before, isn't it? So, that's what that is. So, in prayers also, devotees says to Krishna, and also many, many devotees have prayed in this way, that there is a thing called mind inside. It's like a monkey inside. And this monkey gives a lot of trouble. This monkey gives a lot of trouble. So, a devotee says to Krishna like this, that he says here, that the that I hand over this monkey to you. Sada moha davyam charati yuvatinam kuchagirau nadatya sha shagha swatati jadidi swairam abhidaha kapalin bhikshome hridayam abhi kapi atyanda chavalam dridam bhaktya badhva shiva bhavadhinam kuru vibho. Among the devotees of Lord Shiva, they pray to Shiva that Shiva is always known, is a Kapali, and Kapali means he goes begging in with his bowl in the hand. And that bowl, that is one aspect of Rudra, Shiva's form, that he begs for food. And that is in the Shaivam tradition, it is like that. So the devotee is praying to Shiva. So when you go for this begging, generally beggars in India, it is like that, some of them will have a monkey with them. And they'll tell the monkey to play different tricks. So the children will come and watch the monkey doing all sorts of silly things. When they see that, they will get some food from the house. This is quite common. And of course, here there is no beggars and there is no bhiksha, there is no nothing. So no problem. But in the countries like that, where it happens, so monkeys are used as by this person who is coming to beg, just to play some games with the monkey. And he will train the monkey in such a way. He will sing some song. Monkey will jump up and down. He'll hold a stick. Monkey will jump over the stick. He'll put a rope. Monkey will put his head in through. That all sorts of games they play like this. So they use the monkey to entertain the children. When the children get entertained, the mothers will see, children are getting entertained, give them some rice or give them some little cash or something like that. So here, the devotee is saying to Lord Shiva, you are going for begging anyway, you need a monkey to take with you. I've got a very good monkey inside. Let me hand over this monkey to you, please take him with you. And if you can manage this monkey, I have escaped from this problem. That's what it says here. Sada mohadavyam charadi yuvadinam kujagirauhu. That sada mohadavyam, this monkey inside, he has got a big problem. What is that? He has got all these desires inside. Various kinds of delusions inside. All kinds of desires wants to fulfill. And then lot of lust, lot of anger, lot of greed, and lot of enviousness, jealousy, all bad things is all inside there. And that is the forest in which this monkey is enjoying now. This monkey called the mind, it's living in this forest of these things. Kamam, krodh, lobham, moham, madham, malsarim. It's a forest there. And inside that forest, that is lust, anger, greed, envy, jealousy, all these kind of things. That forest, this monkey is living there. Nadatyasha shaga sotadi jadidi soiram abhidaha. And what is the nature of the monkey? If you look, you can see this in Vrindavan sometimes. They will, wherever monkeys are there, if you observe the same thing they do, they'll jump, swing from one branch for some time and leave this branch and next to the other branch and hold on to that and jump onto that, isn't it? And they will, if possible, they'll give you trouble as much as they can. If you are having something in the hand, before you know, it's gone. It's gone, isn't it? So like this. And all what they do is that they'll move from one branch to another branch, another branch to another branch. They're very busy, but if you see what they're doing nothing. It's just swinging from one branch to another branch. And that is monkey's nature, isn't it? Monkey's nature is like that. Useless things it'll be doing without any sense. It makes no sense at all what they're doing. And in that process, they'll have a lot of children also born. And and he's enjoying his life in his own way. And if you try to look at him, say something, he will show his teeth to you. And he will act in a very particular way. It's the same thing that is inside this mind also. This is what it's doing with us. It makes us like a monkey. It makes us a monkey, basically. That's what this mind is doing to us. If we know all these things, that's why it says here, Nadatyasha shagam. Swatadi jatiti. What does that mean? From one branch to another branch, back and forth. He'll jump from this branch to another branch, from that branch, back again here. This is what he does. Same thing the mind is doing inside. It won't allow you to stay peacefully in any state. That's what it is, isn't it? It never allows you to stay in a peaceful state, to realize the self or anything. Kapalin bikshomi hridaya kavi atyanda chapalam. Kapali means the one who is begging, Lord, addressing Lord Shiva. Kapali bikshomi, you want to go for begging. I'll hand over this hridaya kapi, my mind of this monkey, atyanda chapalam. He can play a better game than the other monkeys what you are taking with you. So let me give you a better monkey for you to manage. In other words, what it says is, unless we hand over this mind to Krishna, there is not possible to control the mind. This is what it is. Unless we hand over the mind to Krishna, mind will never come under control. This is the... Dridam bhaktya badhva shiva bhavadadhinam kuru vibho. That dridam bhaktya, then when that devotion, bhakti develops inside, Krishna says there that it is possible to bring this mind under control. So, adadi jadadi soiram udidam... So, Krishna says here that the if you keep this mind under Krishna's control, then it cannot play anymore like a monkey anymore. It won't play like a monkey anymore. So, it's an important thing that hold the sixth chapter, Bhagavad Gita sixth chapter, Dhyana Yogam, is getting this monkey under control. There's nothing more than that in simple terms. How to bring this mind under control? Dhyana Yogam is that process, isn't it? To bring this mind, which is withering away, going away in different directions, to bring it under control. So, So, the mind, nature of the mind is such that there's a story about this, that a king once felt that he should do something new. In, you know, all the administration, politicians and all, when you can always see when they take control of a kingdom or a country, they will bring reforms, isn't it? Straight away, they'll bring reform. Every time a government comes, they bring reform. And a new government, immediately there is reform. NHS should be reformed straight away. And then the next government, yes, this is not the best one. The best one, we have got the solution now. The next reform comes. Actually, this is that monkey inside playing that game, to tell you the truth. It's a monkey that's playing the game. How many times can you reform NHS? How many times can you reform anything in this world? But they will not let it go. They have to refine. So a king in a kingdom also thought once, he got his power, the power of the kingdom. So he thought in his own way he should make some reform in his country. Otherwise, if you don't bring any reform, they'll say, what's the use of electing you? What have you done? So they know this very well. And knowing this very well, they'll bring the reform, whether you like it or not. Whether you're going to hell or not, doesn't matter. They will bring the reform. Reform must be there. That's the first thing. If you don't reform, then it's not a new government. So the reform starts. So the king also felt that he should bring the reform. So he thought about it very long, and then he couldn't find any answer. What reform he should bring? People were living peacefully. They were getting their food and clothing. What more do you want reform for? But eventually he thought that, let me get a monkey and train the monkey. So he had one person in the place where he was living. There was a lot of mosquitoes. So the king was complaining constantly. So he kept one person to constantly remove the mosquitoes from his body by fanning him. Those days we didn't have ceiling fans or anything like that. There was with a hand fan, he has to constantly move and get the mosquitoes not attack him in the night. So one day an idea came to his mind that suppose if I train up a monkey for doing this, how will it work? Because monkeys can do everything what you tell him to do, isn't it? A lot of things they do. They do a lot of things like the way we do. You can look at them, and that's probably Darwin has come out with this idea that you are coming from there. I can only imagine that's how Darwin's head went in that direction. So much similarity between us and them. So he felt that. So anyway, so the king thought, let me engage him now. And let me train up one monkey like this, what he does. Let's see like that. So he removed this man, first trained up the monkey to do this, and monkey started doing this. And it went on like this. For a few days, monkey was okay. One day, one mosquito, somehow or the other, escaped his monkey's attention and came and sat on the nose of the king. So before king could do anything or anybody could say anything, the king's sword was lying there. When the kings sleep, they will always keep their sword nearby. They're always conscious, isn't it? All Kshatriya kings do that. So the monkey thought the sword is there, the mosquito is there. Before he could beat the mosquito, he took the sword and gave one whack on the nose. The nose was gone. Exactly like this, our mind works sometime. You see, won't think anything, we'll go and just do it, something. After bombing, we will say, should we bomb or not? After doing it. It's the same mind, isn't it? Thinking like that. So many things in life, the mind is engaged in that way. Many things what we do is like that. So the person who is in ignorance, he will trust this mind. And he lives like that, trusting this mind. Or to my mind. My consciousness tells me like this. He's trusting his mind. He's not trusting Krishna. He trusts the mind and he makes the decision. And you never know when he will put you into trouble. When he will put you into trouble. So therefore, the solution Krishna is saying here, hand over the mind to Krishna. In other words, engage in Krishna service either through bhakti or through jnanam. There's only two options in the Bhagavad Gita mentions. Either through jnanam or through bhakti. And that is what Krishna says. Dridam bhaktya bhadva bhavadadhinam kuru vibhom. So here Arjuna is praying to Krishna. In other words, our own prayers it is. That this winning over the mind, getting the mind under control. In order to do that, what is the solution? Either through the chanting process or by reflections on the soul, or through meditation, whichever it is, or I am able to understand, Arjuna is saying, all these different processes, but the mind is not showing any interest to do it. See, look at Arjuna's problem, same problem as we have. We also know we have to chant the holy name. We have to engage in reflections on the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and equally also engage in dhyanam or absorption in Krishna consciousness. But who tells us not to do it? The mind tells us, don't do it. It's not good for you. Don't do it. This is what the job of the mind. The mind has taken that responsibility. So, if you look into the 33rd verse in that chapter, Krishna says there that Arjuna vacha yoyam yogastvaya prokta samyena madhusudana edasyaham na pashyami chanjalaval sthidam sthiram chanjalatval sthidim chanjalatval sthidim sthiram yoyam yogastvaya prokta. Arjuna's doubt is manifesting in a different way. He says to Krishna, this yoga system what you have spoken now is samyena madhusudhana edasyaham na pashyami. I don't see any way that I can make it, he says. Edasyaham na pashyami, which you have summarized, appears impractical. Impractical. He says it's not practical. Which one? This yoga system, what you have spoken, of controlling the mind. The same thing we are also saying, isn't it? Oh, this is not practical. Well, I don't know what is practical. We say nothing is practical. Chanting is not practical. And studying Rigan Srimad Bhagavatam is not practical. Nothing is practical. So he says here, and the reason he gives here is that Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dridam. So it is most difficult to control the mind, Krishna says. That so the only way, Krishna says here, in the Bhagavatam also you will see this. The mind surrenders somewhere. It has to surrender somewhere. It has to surrender. Where does the mind surrender? Where does the mind surrender? Mind surrenders at a place where someone whose mind is completely in peace. Completely. That's why those great jnanis, if you are in their presence, your mind will surrender. Your mind will surrender. You will immediately experience, you must have heard this, that when you go to great spiritual personalities, very advanced personalities, as soon as you are in their presence, all your mind, the oscillations have stopped completely. You are in total peace inside. As soon as you come out, it will start again. Not that it has permanently stopped. But in their presence, this is what will happen. In their presence, this will happen. Immediately, the mind reaches a state of peace. Mind reaches a state of peace. So, therefore, it says here that many instances, what happens is, they go to these great souls with a lots of questions. The great realized souls, they go to them with a lots of questions. When they go there, they can't ask any question. All questions disappear immediately. This happens many times. This has happened. If you read, there are so many books about this. Different people who are searching for the truth. They have gone and they have met great personalities. And in their experiences, they are writing that I have prepared all these questions before I went to see him. When I got there, I couldn't ask any question to them. There was no question to ask. Why? In his presence, because that person is in total peace with the world, immediately you experience the same peacefulness from him, from the other person. So sometimes, just due to the association of a great soul, immediately his eyes, if you become an eye contact with that person, it will go. The mind will come to a state of peacefulness inside. So, and many instances it is recorded also, some devotees like that who have gone and seen these great souls, as soon as they saw, they knew everything, what activities he has done in his past, sinful things, pious things, and what is going through his mind, a jnani can read all these things exactly like in a paper. He can read the all the activities, what's happening inside the mind of a person who has come to see him. This is the jnani's position. That is the state they are in. If you remember, we talked about this before also, when we talked about the Dharmavyada story. Dharmavyada story. Remember that? In the Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna talks about a butcher. Dharmavyada was a butcher. And this Kaushika Brahmana, who has practiced spiritual life for some time, chanted Gayatri very well for many years. The result was that one day, while he was sitting underneath the tree and chanting Gayatri at that time, a crow flew over his head, and the crow passed some stool and it fell on his head. And he got so angry with the crow, he looked at the crow, and the crow got burnt into ashes and fell there. Crow got burned and fell into ashes. This is in the stories in the Yoga Vasishtam. You can read in the Yoga Vasishtam this. Crow fell and burned into ashes. So immediately this Brahmana thought, I have developed some mystic power that I can look at someone and burn them to ashes. Isn't it? So he goes from there and he goes and visits a lady, goes for begging for food. Brahmana went to beg for food, for bhiksha. When he went to a house, there was a lady there, and who was, and he asked for bichamdehi, thrice he asked for food. Normally they'll ask three times for food. If it's not given, they will leave and go. So he asked for once for bhiksha, he didn't get it. Brahmanas in that time, on the time you can talking about thousands of years ago, Yoga Vasishtam story it is, so you can imagine. It's one of the Ramayana times or before. So when he begged for food, the lady in the house never came out with the food. Second time he asked, she didn't turn up with the food. So he was getting a bit angry, and he started looking at her in a very powerful way, thinking that probably she will turn into ashes. But she from inside came out and said to him, my husband is in the house, he has just come back from a long journey. I have to attend to her. After that, I'll give you food, he said. And then he was not very satisfied with the answer. So he started looking at her in a forceful way. At that time, she told him, I'm not the crow who will burn into ashes like the way it happened. She answered like this. Because he is a Brahmana, immediately he thought, how did she come to know about this? What has happened to me? What has happened to me? How did she come to know? The reason for that is, she asked her, how do you know that this incident has happened? Because his curiosity developed at that time. How did this happen? How did you know that the crow has got burned and that it was turned into ashes and you are not frightened about that? She says to him, if you want an answer for that, go to Dharmavyadha. He is in Benares. Go and ask him this question. Dharmavyadha. That is how that story of Dharmavyadha comes in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Ekadasi Skandam, you know that story of Dharmavyadha. Krishna calls Dharmavyadha as a first-class devotee. And so Brahmana wanted to find out who this Dharmavyadha is. That means Dharmavyadha must be superior to this lady who knows everything. So let me go to Dharmavyadha and learn from him, he says. So this Brahmana goes, leaves the home and goes to Benares to find out who Dharmavyadha is. We went and inquired about Dharmavyadha in Benares. And nobody knew about this Dharmavyadha, who is Benares. He thought that he would be someone very well-known personality, a great yogi or a saint or someone who is present there. But when he went out and inquired, many people didn't know about Dharmavyadha. Eventually, with a lot of effort, he found out that this Dharmavyadha was a butcher. He was a butcher. And normally, many Brahmanas won't go into that area of where animals are butchered or meat business is happening there. Anyhow, he wanted to find out this Dharmavyadha. He went there. So when this Brahmana went there, Dharmavyadha was busy in his transactions. He was doing his business. He was busy with his transactions. So he goes up to him, and as soon as he saw Dharmavyadha is asking him, as soon as he saw this Brahmana, have you been sent here by that lady from that house in the village? This was the question from Dharmavyadha straight away. You can imagine, the lady has not phoned him by mobile phone or anything. Those days there was no mobile phone. How did he know then? That is Jnani. This is Jnani. Jnani's position is like that. He knows that. Why he has come? Immediately as soon as he saw this Brahmana, Dharmavyada understood what he had in his mind, what was going through in his mind. They can see like a clear mirror inside. That our chittam, our thoughts inside will reflect straight away in their heart. In their heart it will straight away reflect. So that is the thing, what Krishna is saying here, that all jnanis, this has happened in the time of Yoga Vasishtam and it's happening even today. Even today. When jnanis are there, when you go to them with all kinds of questions in hand, and you think that you're going to go into question him, when you get there, due to the very presence of that jnani, all doubts disappear. All doubts disappear. But doubts will come back as soon as you leave. But that's another thing. But this is the potency of the jnani. This you will read in so many books. This is mentioned by the experience of so many people. So, not only that, they also know that you have committed so many things in your past. What vasanas are inside in the past. And what good things you have done and what your motives are and things like that. So, the reason for that is they see the soul. They see the soul in the person. They don't see the body. And as far as they are concerned, you are not a bad person. You are calling yourself as bad. You are calling, I am a sinner. Because you have been continuously told you are a sinner. Naturally, you are also confirming that, I am a sinner. So that way, but in their eyes, you are not a sinner. Why? They are seeing the soul. See, sinner and all these things is in relationship with the mind and the body. Isn't it? For the soul, there is no sin. Na jayade mriyade va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuya ajo nityam shashyadoyam puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire. When second chapter Krishna opens up, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? A thing which has no birth, no death, that is the soul. He says this in the second chapter. Immediately after the few verses, Krishna says, Jadasya hidruvo mrityaro dhruvam janma mridasya cha tasmad avariharyarte natvam shochitum arhasi. Two verses completely contradicting. Have you noticed that in the Bhagavad Gita? If you read Bhagavad Gita and think, you will notice these contradictions. In one verse, na jayate, soul never takes birth. Na mriyate, soul never dies. Va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya. There was no time he didn't exist in, and there is no time he will never cease to exist. Ajaha nityaha shashvataha puranaha. He is eternal, he is unborn, he is eternal, nityam, and puranaha is the oldest. And na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Even when the body is killed, he is never killed. That's the soul. Few verses immediately after that, Krishna says, Jadasya hidruvo mrityor dhruvam janma mridasya ja. One who has born, he must die. So you can see the problem. People will read this and think, has he got it wrong? What has gone wrong with Bhagavad Gita? In one verse he says soul never dies. And the very next few verses later he says he always has to change the body. Jadasya hidruvo mrityor dhruvam janma mridasya ja. And he says to Arjuna, Tasmad abarihayarte, it is a problem, you cannot stop it. Natvam shochitum arhasi, therefore don't lament. He says to Arjuna like that, isn't it? When we talked about second chapter, we covered that in depth. I mentioned that we must know how to understand Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, you'll all get confused everywhere. That the soul inside, Krishna is speaking from the platform of the soul all the time. This transmigration of the soul is also a question, isn't it? Is it true? If you ask from the absolute sense, it's not true. There is no transmigration of the soul. Is it a truth? Yes, it is a truth. In the sense that as long as you have a subtle body, the subtle body has to transmigrate, means the soul has to go with it. Otherwise, soul on its own has no transmigration. Because of the presence of the subtle body inside, the soul has to go along with it to the next body. That is why that difference coming from these two verses. When the first verse was spoken, na jayade mriyade va kadajil, Krishna is speaking from the platform of the soul. There is no subtle body taken into account. When it comes to Jadasikhi Dhruva Mrityor, Krishna is included in the subtle body. That's why he's saying, in the presence of the subtle body, you have to move from one body to another. In the presence of the subtle body. When your God lost the subtle body, there is no question of transmigration of the soul anymore. In other words, in this very life, if you realize the self, it's finished. There is no more transmigration of the soul after that. Transmigration of the soul is only when you have got a subtle body, that means vasanas inside, and this subtle body which carrying all kinds of desires and also lot of propensities, in that situation you have to transmigrate from another body. So transmigration is not an eternal thing. Transmigration is only when there is a mind and there is a subtle body. Mind is subtle body. So, mind is a subtle body. Mind is four things in the subtle body, isn't it? Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Out of that, the most powerful one is the mind one. So, if the mind is finished here, then automatically subtle body dies, transmigration is over at that point. So, that's what Krishna says here. So, here, in this also, the jnani's point of view, the realized soul does not see you as an ignorant person. He doesn't see you as an ignorant person. He knows very well that you are as good as him at spiritual level. That's their vision. We look at people, oh, he is so sinful. He is not following any regulative principles. That means he must be very fallen than me. This is our conditioning. From realized soul, he doesn't see anyone as fallen. He is seeing everyone as the soul. There is no question of fallen or one who is different. Everyone, for them, it's the same. There's another reason also behind it. They also know very well, at one time they can also see their past. They have also gone through the same thing. This is jnani's realization. That is why when the jnani is seeing a devotee, he is not looking at his conditioned state. What he is seeing is another soul going through that difficulty. That is how he is seeing that. That is why they are compassionate to the world. They are compassionate to the world. Their very presence is only to enlighten others, not for any other. They are living in this body, in this world, only for the sake the body to drop one day. Just like this. When sometimes people this alcohol problem. Somebody becomes affected by alcohol. And what happens to him? Eventually he becomes addicted to that. And then, he somehow or the other, he came into contact with some organization like AA, Alcoholic Anonymous, or somebody, through some effort, he managed to come out of it, from this alcohol problem. And if that person, when he sees somebody else suffering later on from alcohol, he will feel compassion for him. He won't say to him, well, you are drunk because you are drinking alcohol. Because he knows in his past, he has gone through the same problem. Isn't it? Gone through the same problem. Similarly, jnani is like that. They also see their past life, what all they had to go through. Because by now, due to self-realization, all the past, present, everything is known to him. He's only seeing the realized state of the. This is all spiritual realization. When realization happens, you are seeing what is all have I gone through in my different bodies, what I have suffered through. And that is very much awareness is there. Therefore, you won't look down upon someone who is going through a very disturbed life in this world. Whereas our tendency will be, oh, he's completely fallen. I don't want to associate with him. Why? If I associate, I'll become like this, that fear. So till self-realization, you have to follow all that. But after self-realization, you don't have to follow anything because it will openly be a different story altogether. So that's why it is mentioned like that. That the so the experience, what he has inside, Arjuna situation is like that. Arjuna is also saying to Krishna, Chanjalam hi mana Krishna. My mind is very, very disturbed. Krishna is saying, yes, I know that, he says. Why? Krishna is a jnani, isn't it? He knows the truth. Of course, he is the absolute truth. So, there is nothing what he doesn't know. So, therefore, he has compassion for Arjuna. Krishna didn't say to Arjuna, you are a gone case, I can't do anything with you. He didn't say that. He says to Arjuna, yes, I understand that. Asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam. Mind is very, very difficult to control. Jnanis are like Krishna in that sense. All the jnanis, realized souls, are all like Krishna in that way. They will never say to anybody at any time that there is nothing I can do with you. Nothing I can do with you. So their compassion is such because of their own realizations from the past. So once what happened was, when Brahma created Vasishtha, he was created as complete. Complete means in Purnatvam. Purnatvam means full of knowledge. Totally realized state, he created Vasishtha. And then he told Vasishtha, you go to the world, earthly planet, and try to elevate everybody from their conditioned state. Now, because he was fully realized, he couldn't see anywhere anybody conditioned. What can you do? That is the problem. This is in the Yoga Vasishtham, this story. That Brahma created Vasishtha, and Vasishtha came here, and he couldn't do anything. Because wherever he looked, he's only seeing the soul present in different bodies, going through different situations, but that didn't bother him because it's only the soul that exists everywhere. So he came back, Brahma understood the mistake, what he has done. So what did he do? He put Vasishtha through an illusion for some time, for a few minutes, and in that few minutes, made Vasishtha to experience all the miseries of this world through Maya, through the power of Maya. And when Vasishtha experienced that, he fell from this Jnanam platform, from the realized state for some time. He realized it, there is distress also in this creation. Only then he realized there was distress in this creation. So it is after that Vasishtha was sent back again here for elevating others. So Vasishtha's position was like that. Because Vasishtha, as you know, he was the chief advisor or the for the Surya Vamsham, solar dynasty. It has come through he was the main personality who advised all the great kings of the solar dynasty. And solar dynasty is known for its knowledge, isn't it? Lunar dynasty is known for karma yogam, and solar dynasty is known for jnana yogam. You know, we discussed this in the Bhagavad Gita before. Jnana margam came through solar dynasty, karma margam comes through lunar dynasty. So that's what it is. So this has happened, and Krishna says like this, that so many times, many Mahatmas, when they go to see them, they will see that the person who has come, what is going through their mind, they are able to talk about that. So Krishna says in the same way, Asamshayam Mahabaho, no doubt. Krishna can see through Arjuna's mind what's happening there. And he says to him that it is very difficult to control the mind. When Krishna said that, Arjuna felt a lot relaxed. Natural, isn't it? When you go with a big problem to somebody and he says to you, yes, it is a very complex problem, I understand that, then you feel a little relaxed. You feel better, isn't it? Whereas if he tells you, oh, there's no problem, you got the problem, and says something like that, what will you feel? So it's just the other way, Krishna's way of dealing with Arjuna. Asamshayam Mahabaho. So Krishna says here, Abhyasenanda Kaunteya Vairagyena Jagrihyate. That's what Krishna says, isn't it? Now, if you look into Paranjali's Yoga Sutra, Krishna has taken this from Yoga Sutra. In Bhagavad Gita, many times everything is there. Upanishads are there. Ashtanga Yogam is there. Ashtanga Yogam, everything he has taken from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. All the Upanishads knowledge, Krishna has taken from the Kathopanishad, Chandokyam, Kenopanishad and all that. Few Upanishads. So here, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra is coming in. What does it say in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra? Says, Abhyasa Vairagya Abhyam Tan Nirodha. Through Abhyasam and Vairagyam, that means through practice and through renunciation, Tan Nirodha, the mind should be brought under control. This is the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. And the same thing Krishna says here, Abhyasenadu Kaunteya Vairagyena Chagrihyate. You must remember that the Yoga Sutra was written long before Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna. The knowledge is same. When we say like that, you may wonder, oh, we thought Bhagavad Gita is the oldest Shastram. Yes, Bhagavad Gita is the oldest Shastram. Krishna says he spoke Bhagavad Gita to Vivaswan millions of years ago, isn't it? That does not mean it was the same verses that Krishna has spoken there, or it was being edited by somebody now. It's not like that. It is the knowledge that Krishna has spoken at that time, is the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. That's what it means. We must not think, oh, is this the same 700 verses Krishna spoke millions of years ago to sun planet, to the sun god, Vivaswan. No, that's not what it means. The same knowledge Krishna says, I spoke to him in due course of time, it was lost. Now, I am repeating the same knowledge again to you in this form, in these verses. So, prior to this, Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. Many thousands of years ago, Patanjali wrote Yoga Sutram. So that is why it said that Patanjali's Yoga Sutram has come to Krishna's Bhagavad Gita in this form. Abhyasena the Kaunteya, Vairagena cha Grihyate. Similarly, the knowledge from the Upanishads have come, which you see in many places in the Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, the knowledge from the Brahma Sutram is also there in the Bhagavad Gita. There are certain statements in the Brahma Sutram which are there present in the Bhagavad Gita also. So, how will that... So, what does Vairagya means? Okay. So, Krishna says here, what does Abhyasam means? Abhyasam means to keep the mind in one place. To keep the mind in one place. In one place, to hold it in one place. That is Abhyasam. Isn't it? And not allowing the mind to things which are not related to Krishna is Vairagya. Yeah? If you don't allow the mind to go into anything which is not in relationship with Krishna, that is Vairagyam. If you are able to keep a mind absorbed in Krishna, that is Abhyasam. That is the Abhyasam. So, in order to do that, Krishna says here, so when the Vairagyam is practiced, the mind goes inward looking, and we have to hold the mind by Abhyasam in Krishna. We have to hold the mind in Abhyasam in Krishna. And that is where Arjuna says, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. Mind is always disturbed. So, if there is sufficient vairagyam in a person, if there is sufficient renunciation in a person, in a natural way, the mind will go in. That's what it happens. If you forcefully try to do it, it won't work. It won't work. It may last for 10 seconds, 15 seconds. After that, it will go out again. But if you are completely disgusted with this world, that you realize that there is nothing in this world to make you happy, and if you realize that is why Vairagyam is spoken so strongly in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Till that stage comes that you feel that Vairagyam is make you feel that everything in this world is going to give you distress at the end. That realization. Whether it is your job, your house, your family, or whatever you have in this world, is all going to bring you distress at one point or the other. If this is absolutely understood and realized it, then Vairagyam has come. Then Vairagyam will come. So long as this realization is not there, there is always something to look forward to in this world. Isn't it? Something to look forward to. That is where the problem is. That's why Krishna is not speaking in a very, in a way that, oh, I've given you everything, now you go and practice it. You can't do that. That's why when Krishna gives distress, Sukadeva Goswami says in the Bhagavatam that he has accepted you now as a disciple. Krishna has accepted you. As long as he is giving you money and all happiness in this world, you can take it that he is cheating you day in and day out. Day in and day out he is cheating us. Because why? Because in that process we go further, further, further away from self-realization. Therefore it is said like that. Vairagyam, that it mentions like this, that cats are fond of the milk, isn't it? Suddenly you have got some hot milk and you tell the cat to drink that, and cat, out of its lust to drink the milk, will come and put the tongue inside the milk. It gets burned. And as soon as he sees the milk, he doesn't want to come anymore near to that after that. Similarly, when we see every sense objects in this world, if we feel the same kind of disposition inside and desire not to absorb in that kind of frustration inside, then Krishna says the mind will automatically go inward looking for the soul. Otherwise it will not. That's why for jnanam, for realization to happen, vairagyam is a must. Vairagyam is a must. So therefore Krishna is saying here that that is one stage, one particular stage, that what are we doing with this vairagyam? We are conserving our energy inside, spiritual energy. That's what we are. Because with vairagyam, that is what happens. We are conserving the energy inside. We are conserving the energy inside, psychic energy, as it is called. Because with that saving that energy, the mind will absorb in the soul. Mind will absorb in the soul. So it is then that we have to ask this question, who am I? Who am I, this person trying to do all these kind of things? This is the process of analysis of the soul. When one starts reflection on the soul, when we withdraw our attention from the body, from the mind, from the intelligence, from the external objects, and the mind goes inward looking, automatic. It's not like the mind touches everything and contaminates it. We also mentioned that before. But at least if you don't allow the mind to operate inside, and the mind, when it turns inward looking, means that mind has no interest in anymore in sense gratification at that point. So therefore, where does this happen? Now, if you look at it this way, Jagrat state. In Jagrat state and in the dream state, how does this happen? The same vairagyam is happening in the dream state and the deep sleep, isn't it? In the dream state, you are not desiring anything. Nothing is coming for you. It happens in a natural way. Whatever dream comes, it comes, isn't it? There you have no control. Complete control on no desiring at all, anything. It happens. When you go into a deep sleep, you also are not experiencing anything in this world. Body has gone away, the mind has gone away, and no world exists at that time. No world exists at that time. As soon as you come out of the deep sleep, you are reporting back saying that you had a great time. You had a great time. You can ask anywhere in this world this question. Say a person went to sleep, say 10 o'clock at night. He was very tired. He was very tired. He wanted to get up, say at about 4 o'clock in the morning. He wanted to get up. So he kept the alarm and slept. Wake up at 4 o'clock. And he went to deep sleep. He went to deep sleep. Say about 2 o'clock in the morning, some noise happened in the neighborhood. Either one large truck went through, or somebody played the crackers, or something like that happened. You woke up from the sleep. You looked at the clock and you saw it was only 2 o'clock. Would you wait to think whether I should sleep or not? You will be so happy to get back into the quilt and sleep till 4 o'clock, isn't it? Why? Because you are very tired. You were in the deep sleep state, which you were not in the deep sleep state. And in that deep sleep, the happiness you were getting from that is not there in anywhere else in this world in any time. The problem with us is we take sleeping as one of the most abominable thing. As soon as we come to spiritual life, we start thinking like that. It's not good. Why? In the sleeping mode, what we are seeing is only a part of it. We are saying, oh, sleeping means we can't do anything. You're wasting time. People say like this, isn't it? You're wasting time. Or you say tamogunam is taking over and all that. That is only a part of the sleep. But sushupti, if you analyze properly, sushupti state is one of the most closest state to the spiritual realization state. Mostly spiritual realization state. Therefore, sushupti must be studied. That is the Vedic injunction. Sushupti abhyam, it says it must be studied properly. So what happens is that in the dream state, you have lost the body. You lost the body. You were only in the dream experiencing this, what was coming through the dreams. As soon as you go into the deep sleep state, the body has gone, the mind is gone, you are still experiencing happiness in that state, deep sleep. Now, when I say this deep sleep, some people, old people, will have a little difficulty, including me, I'm saying, have a difficulty in understanding this properly. But let me explain that why. This deep sleep happens the best for children. Only in childhood it is the best. The deep sleep is the best. But when you come to the old age, what happens is, before deep sleep, we have a dream state. And then there is deep sleep for a small amount of time, and then dream state again. So deep sleep is sandwiched between two dream states in the old age. In the childhood, it doesn't happen that way. The child has no anxiety. He played the whole day or did some work or whatever he did, and he goes to sleep and sleeps in fully rested. He wakes up in the morning. And he wakes up in the morning, you look at his face, it is very fresh and he looks beautiful, isn't it? That's why children and the babies, when they sleep and wake up, they look very beautiful. And when we wake up, better not to talk about it, isn't it? A lot of ghosts wandering around. Why is that? What's the reason? Reason is this. You see, Vedantam is very clear about all these things. In our unfortunate state, the subtle body has grown so big inside over several years of vyavaharam in this world. That's what it has created. Especially, you can imagine, big businessmen with a lot of money-making programs spinning through their head, taking tablets and whiskey and all kinds of things to keep the mind under rest. They never get any sleep. And you will see them sometimes sleeping in the aeroplane, sometimes trying to find somewhere, some rest. They want to sleep, but they can't sleep. This is what Vyavaharam does to us. That's all it does, nothing else. So you never get a deep sleep state. See, after 40, 45 and all, it's very difficult to get that deep sleep. Deep sleep state. And even if you get deep sleep, it is sandwiched between two dream states. And because we come through the dream state back to Jagrat again, therefore we are not experiencing the bliss of the deep sleep when you come back to Jagrat. For the old people. Only for the old people. For children, because there is no anxiety, they have slept well. When they wake up, they look very beautiful and they look fresh. Why? It is in that deep sleep the soul went back to the Krishna, and Krishna has embraced the soul, re-energized him and sent him back again. In his case, because the vasanas have not developed inside, straight away the subtle body is fresh. Whereas, as soon as Krishna has given us some re-energization inside, in that deep sleep, because it comes through the dream state where we have this huge subtle body there through which it passes through, it absorbs all the vasanas back again and comes with all the anxieties back to life again in the vacant state. This is what the system works, how the system works. So when it comes out of the deep sleep back to vacant state, it comes through this dream state, and that is the reason we never experience this deep sleep, the old people. We go to sleep like this, dreaming something, it falls. All old people you can observe, they'll sit in the sofa set, they'll be watching the television, they'll be sleeping off. And then they'll come back and look again, the program is over by then. So like this, it's always happening, isn't it? All old people, everybody is like that. That's the reason behind it. That these two dream states, like a sandwich it is. The deep sleep is like a sandwich between the two dream states, sandwich condition. So, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. That is why Krishna is saying here that this mind, if you understand the science of this mind and the soul and the intelligence, how it all operating, and if you give enough time to reflect on all these things, it will help in our spiritual life. It will help in our spiritual. There's a lot of things Krishna has spoken about it. So, therefore, if you agitate the mind with loads of thoughts from the world outside, with all anxieties and all kinds of worries and tension you create inside, that mind will never experience any deep sleep state, isn't it? It will always be under the control of this. So all these things. Where does it happen? Jagrat, Swapnam, in these states, how does this happen? So, if you can look it here, if you look at this way, though, who has got this distress? Now, let's look at it this way. Distress, you haven't got it. The mind has got it. Where is the proof? In deep sleep, you never had any distress. Isn't it? In deep sleep, you are not experiencing any distress. So, in deep sleep, only he is present there. The soul is present. And he was not experiencing any distress. So only where the mind is there, he experienced the distress. Only he experienced the distress. So that is why it's mentioned here. So in how come that now in vacant state and in the dream state, you are experiencing all the distress? So therefore, the distress or happiness is not for the soul, it's only for the mind. This is the conclusion. This is how you conclude that. Because in the deep sleep state, that's why I'm saying we should study deep sleep very well and compare with each, all the other states, and come to understand that why deep sleep is important. In the deep sleep state, because we are not experiencing any distress or any kind of material happiness, you can take it that only in the presence of the mind all these things do happen, happiness or distress. And that happens only in the dream state and the wakened state when the mind is present. When the mind is present. So, in other words, the happiness that you experience in the wakened state and the dream state is not the same happiness what you are experiencing in the deep sleep. That is another conclusion. Why? Because in the deep sleep state, in their absence, the kind of happiness you had is something which you cannot compare with the happiness what you experience with the presence of the mind. In the presence of the mind. So if you know that, you can. That is why nobody has ever complained after they came back from deep sleep. Oh, my sleep wasn't so good. I had disturbed. No, if you had gone through deep sleep, always they had only one thing to report. It was great. From the deep, whether it's in America, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in Japan or it's in India, it's the same thing. After you've gone through deep sleep, we wake up, you had a tremendous peace inside. Where did that come from? That is Krishna. So if you see like this, everything, these three states of existence, avastatrayam, it's called avastatrayam. These three avastha, jagrat, sopnam, sushupti. When it is analyzed properly, you can see that in Sushupti state is one state which Krishna has given us every single day to investigate. Where was I getting this happiness from? Where did I get this happiness from? This question we have to ask. But normally what happens when we wake up, we curse everybody first. The whole world is a miserable place. Oh, I have got to do all these things today. I have to meet with my boss in the office. I don't know what he's going to tell me today, what I've done wrong yesterday, what is going on, and whether the company is going to go bust or going to pay me my salary this month. All this kind of anxiety is inside, isn't it? And the wakes up. And who wakes up first? The false ego. And the first man to wake up. That I am ready now. And then with that, the mind also. Simultaneously, the mind. The false ego and the mind, then the day starts. Go to bathroom, brushing the teeth, thinking about the office, or bathing, or worried about all other things in this world, taking children to school, wife is complaining something, somebody else is doing something, all kinds of things. So that's called samsaram. So once we are in the samsaram, then there is nothing you can do. Then you have to live with the mind and live with the world this way. So Krishna is saying here, though little by little, it is possible, Krishna says, to come out of this. From this state. So in Jagrat and Sushupti we have, so that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse, if you look. Verse 36. Asam yad atmana yogo dushprapamiti memati vashyatmana duyat yatata shakyo vaptam upayata. Asam yad atmana yogo dushprapamiti memati vashyatmana tu yatata shakyo vaptum upayata. Asam yadatmana yogo dushprapa iti me mati vashyatmana tu yatata shakyo vaptum upayata. Krishna says, for one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by right means is assured of success. That is my opinion. That is Krishna's opinion. So you can see that Krishna first said, agree that asamshayam mahabahu mano nurnigraham chalam. It is difficult to control the mind. But then in the very next verse, Krishna is saying also that that it is possible. So that Arjuna should not have any doubt that will it happen or not. Will it happen or not? This question will always come. It's all actually our question. Arjuna is asking on our behalf. That question, verse 35, Krishna is answered like this. First he said, yes, you are right. What you are saying is true. It is difficult. Mano durnigraham chalam. But my opinion is, abhyasena dukaunteya vairagyena jagrahyade. It is possible. And then in this verse, he says here, very openly, he says there. He puts it very straightforward. For one whose mind is like that, unbridled, self-realization is difficult. He says it's not going to happen. It's difficult. Difficult work means it's not going to happen. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by right means is assured of success. He says, Krishna says it is possible. Assured of success. So, Krishna says here, one who has not controlled his mind, then for him it is difficult. For one who has not controlled his mind, it is difficult. In other words, one who has not managed to bring mind inward looking. That's what it says here. That asamyada atmana yoga. Asamyada means that. Asamyada means, of course, asamyadam atmana yoga. Asamyada samyamanam. Samyamanam means this. Samyamanam means able to control the mind when it's necessary. When it is necessary. Able to bring the mind inward looking. Able to withdraw from the world. And absolutely absorb in Krishna. So, yamam yamam. This is where it comes. So, discipline will happen. One who has no discipline for him. Asamyana means one who has no discipline. Yamam and niyamam. Remember? Yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharanam, dhyanam, samadhi. Eight things are the limbs of Ashtanga Yogam. And this yamam, niyamam will come also in the Ekadasha Skandam later. Krishna will say to Uddhava about that. So, Krishna says here, such a person who has no yamam or niyamam, who has no discipline in his mind properly, for him, it is very difficult to reach the state of yoga. Yoga state is impossible. So, vashyalpa. Vashyalpa means what? One who has kept his mind and the senses under his control by his effort and who has brought it under control. What is that process? Bhakti, austerities and penances, chanting the holy name, and above everything else, Krishna gives importance to satsangam. That is the process. Chanting the holy name, bhakti. Bhakti means devotion. And also the necessary austerities and penances he is performing. Above everything else, Krishna gives importance to satsangam. We'll come to that. Why he says like that? Because in satsangam, Krishna considers that is the easiest process of all the other things. So, so all the senses, eyes, ears, everything comes easily under control through satsangam. So it will come under control. Because in satsangam it is easier. When we say satsangam, what it means is discussion about Krishna or discussion about the soul. Like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, all this is satsangam. Because there only the topic that is discussed is about the soul, isn't it? Not about the share prices, not about other things. It's only all in reference to the soul and self-realization. So Krishna is saying, if you stay in this satsangam and constantly hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen is that satsangam will energize inside in such a way that from there this control of the mind and senses will happen. Control of the mind and senses will happen. Naturally, in satsangam, due to association with the soul, hearing about the soul, the tendency for the mind to go external is stopped. To go external is stopped. That's why it is mentioned like that. So, in satsangam, there is no effect of dusangam, isn't it? Satsangam and dusangam, two things. Satsangam means association with those who are inclined in the same way. same like-minded people who are requiring and who are inquiring after the truth, self-realization, in other words. Those who are, if everyone associating each other is in the path of self-realization, job becomes very easy. It becomes very easy. If you are in the company of those who are always seeking for self-realization, there will be no corruption, there will be no envy, there will be no cheating, there will be no false ego there, because they are all looking for self-realization. That is the principle. That's why in satsangam, it can help that if everyone is after self-realization, satsangam will work very easily. So, but even otherwise, hearing about the soul, discussing about Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, eventually will bring one that to state. That's why satsangam is given so much importance. If you look into the first canto of Srimad Bhagavadam, in the 10th chapter, there is this statement there. Satsangad mukta dusango partha na ulsahade puman. Hatum na ulsahade puman. So, when you are in satsangam, there is no effect of dusangam. Dusangam means the association with the bad things in this world, material nature, or in other words, the effect of the external world doesn't exist, isn't it? In satsangam, you don't have that because you are absorbed in the truth. You are absorbed in the truth. Provided you are absorbed. If you are thinking about home and work and office and all that, then naturally it won't happen. But satsanga, that's what it says. Satsanga mukta dusango hadum na ulsahade puman. There's no effect. Naturally, when you are in the satsangam, little by little, the mind will come under control. Mind will come under control. It must happen. That is what Krishna is saying. That so what's happening is dushpravayanti. Otherwise, it is not possible. He says here, dushprapa iti me mati. Dushprapam. Dushprapam means it is not possible. It's not possible to reach that state. So that is why in the Bhagavadam, especially in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna has devoted one whole chapter to talk about satsangam. Remember, the 12th chapter, he spoke about satsangam. And he gave a number of examples to tell us how through satsangam they reach that state, control of the mind. We read Ajamila's story in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? In the 6th canto. The first 3 chapters are Ajamila's story. When you read Ajamila's story, you wonder how did that transformation happen to him? Through satsangam. When Vishnududas came and in their association, he got transformed. Transformed. That is what happened to Ajamila. Not that suddenly he changed his mind or anything. It didn't happen. He was so fallen. Ajamila's state was so fallen. But suddenly, due to the few moments of association with the best devotees from Vaikuntham who had come there, the Vishnududas, he associated with them, immediately the mind changed. That's the power of satsangam. That's the power of satsangam. Gopi's example is given in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? How gopis changed. Their association has changed. So all these things Krishna is saying here is happening, and asamshayam mahab asamshayam yatmana yogo dushprabha itime madhi. It is not possible to reach that state unless we take to satsangam. Satsangam is meant for this, to constantly hearing about Krishna, constantly hearing about Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads. All these are meant to take us out of this world. Out of this world. It is not meant for getting us absorbed in the world, rather to take us away from this world and bring the mind under control. To bring the mind under control. We'll discuss it next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.